Baseball is taking the long way to get to the GPAC Championship. Softball season comes to an end, and tennis gears up for a huge trip to Nationals. Hello and welcome to episode 42 of the award-winning Talking Dogs podcast. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich. Kai, how's it going?
You know, Cohen, it's going pretty good today. It was a bit of a dreary, wet morning, but the sun is out now. Smells great. The post-rain smell is one of my favorites.
Yeah, and as long as it's not mixing with the feedlot smell, I don't mind the post-rain smell.
Exactly. Where we are right now, it's smelling pretty good.
It smells pretty nice.
I'm in a good mood.
Kai's nose is happy. Yeah, it was a... I've seen sunnier mornings. I've seen sunnier days. But,
definitely.
Too much for baseball.
Yes, way too much for baseball. A little bit of rain came our way, and the tarp is over the field.
The tarp is out, ladies and gentlemen. But we'll get into that when we break down baseball. First, we have some less than fortunate ending to the season in baseball. Softball, their season recently came to a close in the GPAC Championship. Tell us how that went.
Yeah, so since our last episode, there have been four games. Two of them in the GPAC tournament, and then two of them in a two-game series against College of St. Mary. We'll just briefly go over that St. Mary series. A 2-0 win against them. First game was 6-3, and the second one was 4-0. And a bit of a flip from what we've seen most of the season, Kaylee Dennison actually pitched the first game of the series.
Okay.
And then Megan Yurich pitched the second one.
Gearing up for playoffs, maybe?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. Yep. So Dennison, she pitched the whole game of that 6-3 win. She gave up just six hits. She had three errors, two walks, and then a strikeout.
She committed three errors, or was three errors behind her?
It said on the pitching stats, three errors.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe. Hopefully not three errors.
Hopefully not.
But yeah, we'll say that's the team. The team committed three errors.
Three errors from the team.
Hopefully.
Aubriana Kreiser had three RBIs on three hits. And then early on, they went behind by two. So they scored in the first inning, got a run in the first inning. And then College of St. Mary went up by two. But then Concordia answered back with three runs in the fifth inning and then two runs in the sixth. And that brings you to the 6-3 win. In the second game, Yurich pitched possibly her best game of the season.
Really? Then that's saying something.
She allowed just four hits on the day, zero walks, zero errors, 10 strikeouts.
How did she go the whole game?
She went the whole game.
Seven innings or nine innings?
I think it was seven.
Seven innings, yeah. Yep.
I don't know if it was six or seven, just depending on who hit first.
Right, right.
I guess pitcher would usually, I don't know, about seven.
Either way, good start. Great start from Megan.
Yeah, so 10 strikeouts, 4 hits, no walks, no errors. And then Kreiser, once again, led the team in RBIs, joined by Lacey Josoff. Both of them had two for the 4-0 win. Then the ship turns a little bit south as we get into the GPAC tournament.
Uh-oh.
Games against Dakota Wesleyan, and then a game against Northwestern. Northwestern being the number one seed in the conference, Dakota Wesleyan being the 4, and Concordia being the 5. So, Dakota Wesleyan, it was a 6-1 loss. And the GPAC tournaments for both baseball and softball, it's a double elimination.
Right.
So you lose one, you're still okay. But then, unfortunately, they lost the second one to Northwestern, 6-0.
Which I like, by the way. I like double elimination as a concept.
Yeah, me too. It means if you have one bad game, you're not done for. Like baseball,
I think that is especially important in a sport like baseball slash softball, where, you know, it's like a lot of it can be luck based, you know.
Yeah, stringing together runs at the right time.
Yeah, like if a pitcher, like I think, like in football, if you first off health wise, that's a big no no. If
you're
right. out there and do like back to back games, but like I feel like, you know, if one team's got, you know, 6'8", 300 pounds on the D line, like every single nine reps out of ten, you know, he's gonna be in the backfield causing havoc. Like, upsets, I think, are a lot more common, I think, or a lot more expected, maybe, in the bat and ball sports, is what I'm trying to say.
And I think in basketball as well.
Basketball, too.
Like, you can just have a game where a not very good team just shoots, you know, 60% from three and beats a good team. Or a not-ranked team.
Not-ranked team, yeah.
Hits a grand slam and beats you 4-3 in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
People get streaky. I think especially when it's like a sport like that. I'm a fan.
Yeah, me too.
It sucks that they couldn't capitalize on either one of the opportunities there.
Right. So they lost that first one 6-1 against Dakota Wesleyan. Our one run came from Aubrey Bruning. She hit a single down like center field, so got to first. Then she stole second base, and then the stats say she advanced to third on an error.
Yeah.
And then it just says she scored.
Huzzah!
So, magically, yeah. There was an error while she was on second, and okay. Then she scored.
Well, so, okay, that could be, like, you know, throwing error that gets by, gets in the dugout, that's free two bases. So
yep, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, if it's something like that, did it say who the error was on?
Let me try to find that.
Because that's the real meat and potatoes, right? So,
yeah.
You're thinking, you get on second, and were they already pitching to the next batter? Because then you could have a pickoff move by the pitcher that gets into center field, and we have a lot of speed on second that could get home, something like that.
So it says,
yeah, let's see.
Bruning singled to shortstop.
Okay.
Bruning stole second.
Beat an infield single, so she's fast. She stole second, so she's fast.
Bruning advanced to third on error by center fielder.
Was there a hit before that?
No.
What's the center fielder?
CF stands for center fielder, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What's the center fielder doing with the ball?
I don't know, but it just says she advanced to... Did they try to throw her out at second maybe while she was stealing it? And then it went to the center fielder?
It could be. Okay, she steals second. I don't know why this wouldn't be an error on the catcher, though. If she steals second and the catcher completely airmails the throw, gets it into center field... She scored. Okay. So she gets to. I think they're omitting.
You crack the code.
They're omitting an error here. She, in her attempt to steal second, which even if there's an error on the catcher there, they still credit her with a steal. So maybe that's where they're being a bit more lenient. They're just leaving the catcher out of this entirely. But she steals second. The catcher airmails a throw. It gets into center field, and because it gets into center field, obviously she's got speed because she beat on an infield single. She gets to third. The center fielder tries to be a hero, throw out at third. And it gets by the third baseman. Maybe the pitcher wasn't doing her job and backing up. And then she steals home.
Gotcha. So, essentially, she stole all the bases. Except for first.
She manufactured a run, is what they call that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well done, bravo.
Unfortunately, it was the one run scored in the GPEC tournament.
Hey, good thing we gave it a thorough breakdown because
we did. it was worthy of
laud and praise.
Yes, so well done, Aubrey, for getting that run.
Good job, Aubrey.
Very impressive base running, I will say.
Yeah, that's cool. In the GPEC tournament, that's a good spot.
Yeah, to kind of give a little bit of hope. Unfortunately, it was dashed quite soon after as Dakota Wesleyan got another run to make it 6-1.
Ah.
Pitching was It was okay from Megan Urich. So she pitched in this first game. Decent game. 7 hits allowed. It says 4 errors. Again, I doubt that's on her.
Those can't be personal errors. Yeah. Unless they're just bunting at her the whole game.
But then she had 4 strikeouts and just 1 walk. So, like, not a horrible game. Not her best, but...
What were the earned runs there?
It was...
Did she allow all 6?
It was 4 earned runs.
4 earned. Yeah, I mean, she kept her team in the game. That's what you asked for in your starter.
Yeah.
You got to keep your team in the game. That's what she did. Yep. How many innings pitched?
5.1.
Yeah, that's a good start.
And then Kaylee came in for the last 0.2.
Yeah.
And zero anything.
Yeah. No, that's a good game. I think that's probably what you would ask for out of Megan. But, you know, big conference opponents, they're going to have good pitching too. So they obviously did a good job against the Concordia offense.
Yep. And then looking at that Northwestern game, it was a 6-0 loss. We only had 5 hits in that game. And then Kaylee and Megan split that game. So Kaylee pitched the first 3.2 innings, gave up 6 hits, 6 runs, walked 2, and struck out 2. And then Megan came in for the last 2.1, where she gave up just 2 hits and then had 2 strikeouts, kept... all the Northwestern runners from getting home, kept them pretty much off the bases as well.
Was this on the same day? Do you know?
Yes, it was on the same day. April 30th was when these both happened.
So that's pretty telling right there. You get your starter from the previous game out of the bullpen. That shows, you know, obviously it's an elimination game, winner go home. But, like, you know, they were throwing their all at that one.
Yep, and it worked.
It worked from that regard.
In theory, it worked. Putting her in, they gave up no runs, so it worked from that aspect, but just couldn't get the offensive production going.
Says a lot about Megan, though. Says a lot about Megan that she's able to go out there the gumption mm-hmm. to go out there, start the first game, give you a pretty decent outing, willing to come out of the bullpen in the next game, yeah. keep her team in it.
Especially in that last game of her career as well.
Yeah, she's sailing off into the sunset, huh?
Yeah, on a no runs allowed last two
innings. Not bad. So. Of course, we say that now with the NAI and like the court ruling and everything.
Yeah, who knows? She'll probably be granted 3 more years.
She's granted 3 more years, and she'll be playing at LSU Shreveport or some
yeah, she school. had a little elbow trouble, so they'll give her an injury redshirt year.
She'll do the Tristan Smith.
Yeah, pretty much. She'll get the flu and get a flu season.
Which, oh, this is a sports podcast. We can talk. Let's throw that in there. Tristan Smith transferring to NIU.
Yeah, Northern Illinois.
Northern Illinois, home of Kurt Warner, famously.
And now home of even more famous Tristan Smith.
Even more famous Tristan Smith. So my understanding of the court ruling is, you get another year of eligibility, but not at the NAI level.
Right. You can, like, just go D1.
Or NCAA.
Oh, you see.
Is it just D1 or is it NCAA?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I think it may be NCAA. Okay. I think it's as long as you change conferences.
Gotcha.
And you're not in the NAI, then you have another year of eligibility.
That's interesting.
Although NIU is D1, so it could be at the D1 level.
It's where he deserves to be.
True. I saw the post that NIU posted.
Mm-hmm. I saw that as well.
And it had one reply, and it was a random guy, and he just said, "We're winning our conference this year."
All right. Well, let's hope so.
NIU, I think they're the Wolves. I don't know. The NIU faithful are excited about the move, according to my Twitter sources.
Well, I'm pretty excited. I think we'll all be NIU fans next season.
Yeah. No, I'll be watching.
They're not playing against the Bulldogs if they're in March Madness next year.
Yeah. Hopefully they don't pay. Hopefully they don't charge $10 per stream like they do it. Other schools.
Hopefully not. And hopefully they're giving Tristan some NIL money.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
Let's get him a paycheck.
Yeah, I could see him on a billboard for... I could see him on, like, a Got Milk commercial.
Oh, my gosh, totally.
Because, you drink whole milk and you'll be as tall as Tristan Smith.
You'll be 6'5 with a 40-inch vertical drink milk.
You'll average a double-double.
Mm-hmm.
That would get the NIU people going.
I think it would. It would get me to buy some more milk.
Yeah, that would be fun.
If there was a milk carton with Tristan Smith's face on it, I would buy it.
Tristan Smith's and like his stat line from the previous game, which would be a double-double.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That'd be exciting stuff. Oh, Tristan Smith. Never change.
Never change. Concordia legend. But he did change schools.
Yeah. Well.
But no hard feelings.
No hard feelings.
Because he was at eligibility.
He literally couldn't have came back.
Yeah.
So
all the best to him on his future basketballing.
Yeah, all the best. Concordia legend. Show up and show out at D1. Show them what the NAI is all about.
Yep. And then that kind of brings a close to the softball season. They got beaten in both games. No chance of any wild cards to Nationals.
Yeah.
So that'll be all there is.
I think when you're looking at this in totality, I don't think we're going to have time to do a softball season breakdown, because the school year is wrapping up.
Right.
And I will be elsewhere. But I think this is a good, for what the expectations were, good season.
Yeah, 27-20 overall record.
7 above 500.
Yeah.
Is really good, especially mm-hmm. in the 50-game season.
Oh, yeah.
And especially compared to what they did last year. Because I think last year they missed the tournament. Is that
yeah,
right?
I don't think they even made it. It was a rough season.
It was a rough season.
And this year they were 58% winning.
Yeah, and this was
that's pretty solid.
This was after they had a very large turnover of seniors. Mm-hmm. I remember writing like the first story about the softball season, and there was just a bunch of seniors that had from that previous squad that had gone on and graduated.
Yes, and I saw a quote from the coach, and he was saying basically that this was not necessarily a transitional year, but that the program is headed in the right direction after a rough year last year. He's still a pretty new coach as well.
True.
So it's in the right direction, and he's excited because there's a lot of young talent on the team. You look at Avery O'Boyle. She's been starting as a freshman.
Yeah.
So have lots of young talent ready to step up is what he said.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. Keep an eye on them next year.
Yeah. But talking about baseball,
yeah,
they are not quite done yet.
Not
and they
done
don't
yet.
Look like stopping anytime soon.
I didn't hear no bell. Baseball, they wrap up their regular season with a 37-9 overall record, 25-3 in the GPAC.
Wow.
That's a program record, folks. We've never gone 25-3. We lost 3 conference games
That's
in the
nuts.
Regular season.
That's also a conference record.
Is it a conference record?
It's a conference record.
It seems like it should be.
By one game, it is.
Yeah. So, crazy. Just a crazy great conference season. That garnered the Bulldogs a number 12 national ranking heading into the postseason. And obviously, the number 1 seed in the GPAC, it wasn't close. But just like softball, they had a few regular season games to tend to. I won't break all these down individually. They were in DAC West for a weekend, the 25th and the 26th. So everyone was watching the draft. While everyone was watching the draft, the Bulldogs were going to town. This is the final series of the year. It was a 4-0 sweep. Here are the scores. I'll just give you the scores.
Okay.
19-6, 22-4, 10-4, 12-2.
That's like 50 runs.
It's a lot of runs. I didn't even bother doing the math. I can't. So I'll just give you the big names on the offense. Obviously, what you see there are big run numbers. So I'll just give you the big run numbers, the big run getters. So Bradley Hollick, this is across all four games. This is across the series.
Okay.
6-for-12 with 9 RBIs, 6 walks. He only hit 2 home runs. Can you believe that?
What a slacker.
Can you believe that?
I can't believe it.
Ty Nikolajczyk, 3-for-10. What are we doing? Batting 300? 4 RBIs? Oh, wait, 7 RBI or 7 walks.
There you go.
He was on the Concordia leadoff guy, doing exactly what you want a leadoff guy to do, and that's walk a bunch, and that's what he did. Matthew Rhodes, the sophomore, probably one of the favorites of the show. Matthew Rowe, 9-for-14. 14 RBIs.
Oh, my gosh. How many home runs did he have?
3 walks and 4 homers.
That's what he's known for.
That's what he's known for.
He hits bombs.
Somebody else known for hitting bombs. Jaden Quinn. Drum roll, because this ends the regular season. He went 8-for-13, 12 RBIs, oof, 3 walks, 5 homers.
5 homers in 4 games.
5 homers in 4 games. He had 2 home run games.
All right, so on the Jaden Quinn.
Well, hey, slow your roll there, buddy. Slow your roll there, buddy. We won, just to put a bow on things for the regular season, we won 20 of our last 21 games to finish the year, and then obviously finished with that program best and apparently conference best 25-3 record in the conference. Now, Jaden Quinn home run tracker.
Okay.
His season tally is up to 23. Oof. Which means his career tally is 96.
96. He's almost there.
96. And we said this last show that we will add the postseason home runs.
100%.
We're going to add the postseason home runs because we, oh man, it'd be so awesome to see him get to 100.
It'd be great.
Only the second ever NAIA player to get to 100. And obviously program best in career home run totals.
But here's the thing. He has to get it before the end of next week because
he does.
That's when the last episode of the podcast is for the year.
It's true.
Because we will both be in different states.
It's true.
From each other.
So I'm sure he's keeping that in mind. That's probably first and foremost.
Just do us a solid and get it this weekend.
I've got to get a 4 home run game for Cohen and Kai.
So that we can talk about it.
So we can talk about it and get a few more hours clocked in on Paycor.
Exactly.
But like I said, that brings us to the end of the regular season. But not the end of the season. GPAC Championship Series. Talking about the GPAC Championship Series, we were talking about the home runs. Obviously, he beat out Joey Gabranski for the career program home run leader. Saw him at the GPAC Championship Series.
Oh, that's awesome.
He was out and about. He's got a little Gabranski with him.
Little Gabranski is adorable.
Little Gabranski is adorable. So it was nice to see another Concordia legend showing out and showing up supporting the team. And man, this is a fun first game. It was actually a bit tighter than I thought it would be because our first matchup as the one seed in the tournament was DAC West.
Who we just swept by like 50 runs.
Who we just murdered legally. And they okay, one thing that stunned me, and you'll see this a lot of time in like professional playoff settings, is a guy from the other team probably deserved MVP for the game or the series or whatever.
Yep.
And they didn't get it because that team didn't win.
Right.
Let me introduce you to Caleb Myers. Caleb Myers for DAC West. And this is odd to me because Caleb Myers, a junior lefty, he throws left-handed, he bats left-handed. He was their starting pitcher on the mound. And he had a 1-5 record coming into the game.
Ooh.
So not very good.
Not great.
Not phenomenal at all. And he's coming in facing this offense that had just killed his team mere days beforehand,
right.
five days beforehand, right? He goes 5 2/3, only 2 earned runs, and he pitches to, he walked, he lost a bit control as the outing went on, but so he had 5 walks, but he struck out 6, and that's not bad at all considering he had 3 errors committed behind him. His defense did not pick him up at all. So pretty good outing against against a really good Concordia offense. But that's not the crazy part. Caleb Myers was batting cleanup for the Tigers, and he went 2-for-3 with 2 RBIs and a walk.
Wow.
He was on the mound, and then he batted in the run that gave him the lead. So it was the third inning. It was the third inning, and we had just gotten 2 runs and gone up in the game 2-0. Caleb Myers comes in after giving up the lead, and he bats, he singles, RBI single to tie the game back up. So he gave up the lead, but he got it right back, mm-hmm. made it a 0-0 game again, essentially. It was really impressive. And yeah, he was definitely. Every single, like you could tell it's playoff baseball. First off, rain delay. Mm. Must be noted. This game was scheduled to start at 6 p.m. and it was raining all day and night. Raining so much, they brought the football guys. They brought the brutes in.
They brought the muscle.
They brought to clean up the... They're doing it again today, spoiler alert, where they will be out on Plum Creek Park, ladies and gentlemen. We kid you not, with sponges and shop vacs.
At 6:30, they're asking for all help they can get.
Sponges and shop vacs, man. That's just... They don't like playing on wet fields.
No, they don't.
That's what that tells you. So they go out there, and the rain delay ends up... The game doesn't start till 9 p.m.
Ooh, that's rough.
And I was getting there at 9 p.m. I got there at 8:30, so I got to watch warm-ups a bit. So this game is going on and on and on. And after every inning that Caleb Myers, you know, sits down the side, gets a strikeout, he's coming back to his dugout, and it's rah, rah, rah. Like, they are hyping him up. And I was getting annoyed as a Bulldogs fan, but as a baseball fan, I loved it.
Yeah.
It was 58. This is the first time I've been to Plum Creek Park where the wind wasn't abusive.
Right.
And it was just beautiful playoff weather. I asked Coach Dupick about it after the game, and he echoed my sentiments. He's like, yeah, it really did feel like the playoffs out mm-hmm. there. It's what it felt like.
You don't get a 1-5 pitcher pitching like that in a regular season game.
No, sir, you do not. No,
you don't get the eight seed playing the 1 seed like that.
They showed up to upset the Concordia Bulldogs. So hats off to Dak West. Things started to come apart in the 6th inning, however, for the Tigers, fortunately for the Bulldogs. Caleb Myers was out there. He was laboring a bit. He had walked a batter, gotten on first. Cade Vanis got on first with a walk. And then you have Alex Draper, right fielder, stepping up to the plate. We don't say his name often on the podcast, but big moment, playoff baseball, big moments can find anybody, right? Alex Draper, and this is a night where we didn't have a lot of pop.
Mm-hmm.
There is yet to be a home run that we have hit. No. Ty hit one yesterday. But to this moment, like, there hadn't been any home runs in the game. And Ty Nikolajczyk in this game led things off with a double in the first, but it landed in front of the center fielder. It was just a hustle double. I don't think anything had made it to the outfield wall yet. Alex Draper, he just bloops a ball into right center field. And it's got enough hang time that the center fielder has a notion that he can make a play on it. The right fielder gets a notion that he can make a play on
Uh-oh.
It.
Uh-oh.
They both dive. I was scared they were going to hit each other. Mm-hmm. Like, go noggin to noggin. They missed each other, but they also missed the ball.
Nice.
Ball goes rolling all the way to the outfield fence, but Draper slips because it was so wet, rounding first. He cost himself a triple. Still, it was an RBI double. That got us the lead, but more importantly, got Myers out of the game. And then... After Myers came out of the game, we mentioned that Myers struggled to find the zone just a little bit. He had five walks. The bullpen for the Tigers comes in, and across 2 innings of work, 1-2, count them, 1-2, 2 innings of work, they walked 11 Bulldogs.
Oh, no.
They lost the zone a wee bit, and that gave us the lead. That allowed us to blow things open, and that ended up being a 9-4 win.
Wow.
Great way to start the GPAC tournament. And then the next game... Not such a great way to continue the GPAC tournament. We take on Briarcliff. Briarcliff came in 26-21. It was their overall record. Again, we are like head and shoulders above everybody else in the tournament.
They're a solid team, but should have been no issues.
Solid team, but we just set the conference record for wins in a conference season. But right. Then again, it's baseball, and these things happen.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, from last game, shout out Alex Johnson. He got the start for the first GPAC game. Did great on the mound. He went 6 innings. He labored a bit in that third inning where he gave up 2 runs. And I think his pitch count probably got up to like 25, 30. But he was able to lock in, get his team a solid 6. Seth Claiborne comes in. And he gets 3 innings of relief pitching work. Gets the save. Really good to save the pitching staff.
So are these all 9-inning games?
These are all 9-inning games. Yeah, we're playing real baseball from here on out. And So it was good. I was talking to Dupik after the first game, and I was like, you know, it's great that Alex Johnson went 6 innings and then Claiborne went 3 innings. You saved your bullpen. Turns out the next game, they did not need the bullpen at all because, or, well, they did a little bit. We'll get to that. Braxton Greenberg, 8 innings pitched, almost win a complete game in the playoffs. He allowed 3 hits and no walks.
In 8 innings, you said?
In 8 innings.
Oh, my gosh.
He allowed 3 base runners. Unfortunately, one of them did score, so he has the one earned run, but he allowed 3 base runners and he struck out 12.
Whoa.
He struck out 12. Oh, no, wait. He did have 2 hit-by-pitches. So he hit 2 guys, made him earn it the hard way. But other than that, they only earned their way on the base 3 times. That's just incredible.
Did he have any walks?
No walks.
No walks.
3 hits, wow. No walks. He hit 2 guys just for fun. And so obviously great. Shut him down through 8. 9th inning is where things fall apart, and fall apart they did. It just, this happens from time to time. Yep. Dayton Schmidt, who has been as locked down gets. I think he has 9 saves on the season, mm-hmm. which again, this is, we're talking about like a, we're not like 162 games like in the MLB. This is like a 50-game season. So he's a stud in relief. He's just been great for us all year. In the bottom of the 9th, giving up 4 hits. 1, there was an error on second baseman, and gave up 4 runs. We came into the bottom of the 9th, up 4-2-1, gave up 4, and they walked us off.
Mm.
Funny enough, based
that stings
on
a little bit.
Based on seeding and everything, we were technically the away team in this game.
Oh,
I don't know how it works, but we're playing on Plum Creek Park, and we're the away team because they had the bottom of the 9th, so we got walked off on Plum Creek Park.
That sucks.
Which is just. Wasn't in my goals for this year for happened to the Concordia Bulldogs. However, like you mentioned, it's a double elimination, so we are still alive and well. You need 2 losses to get out of it, and we had to start off strong that very next day. Which this is tough, by the way, because that first game against the game that started at 9 p.m. didn't get done until 12:30 midnight. So the morning they finished that game, they would be playing another game the same day. Gotcha. So May 1st, 12:30, they finished a game, and then at noon, May 1st, they started this game.
So they have less than 12 hours between games.
Yeah, and then they still have to sleep and stuff in between that. So
yeah.
And then at 7 o'clock, because you lost that game, you got to play Dak West again. Now, this time it went a bit differently. They did not have Caleb Myers on the mound, and we won 13-2.
Nice.
So a nice bounce back. Nice bounce back for the guys, and now... There were supposed to be games today, as we mentioned. Just a shout out. Matthew Rhodes got the start again. So that's just, he got the start, gave up 7 hits, but didn't walk anybody and only gave up 2 runs.
So he's been shown his versatility.
That's a word for it. Yeah. Versatility. Also interesting. No home runs in game 2. Yeah. So we have gone game 1 and game 2 without homers.
And the other teams haven't had any either.
No, sir.
Just no home runs at all. That's weird.
Quite peculiar. Quite peculiar. So, one would say they're due.
They are due.
Especially in a 13-run outing. Isn't that incredible?
That is
weird. To not get 1 home run. Just looking at the offensive leaders, Ty Nikolajczak, who I mentioned had that error in the bottom of the 9th, he kind of redeemed himself. Kind of. I said he redeemed himself. 3-for-5 with an RBI. He led the team in hits. And then we had 4 other guys have 2 or more hits. So, just a great all-around day from the offense. And now they go into... 2 final games. They need to beat Briarcliff twice.
Okay, because of that double elimination, Briarcliff hasn't lost yet.
Yes, sir.
So we need to hand him 2 losses.
Tomorrow. It was going to be today, but it's going to be, I think, 1 and 4 are the start times tomorrow. Okay. Obviously, if they beat us in the 1 o'clock game, the 4 game doesn't happen. Whoever wins this from this pool, from this pod, plays whoever comes out of the Yankton. They're playing up there in South Dakota.
Yep.
Whoever plays them, and then that's going to be the GPAC championship.
And that'll just be a 1 9-inning game?
I think so.
In Seward?
I think so.
Assuming, okay, if let's say Concordia were to lose to Briarcliff, would the final still be here? Do you know that?
That's good. That's a good question. That's why I like you, Kai. You asked a good question.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have the good answers.
That's all right. Hey, it doesn't really matter.
We're a great dynamic.
We won't go to the game if we're not in it.
We'll not be there.
No.
Also, it's starting to like pour now, so
yeah.
This is crazy weather.
That beautiful sunny afternoon is gone now.
So long. But yeah, so yeah, that'll be interesting. The one thing that is interesting to keep note of. So obviously we get pushed back a day. I want to see how this affects the pitching staff.
Mm, get a little bit more rest.
You would scratch in Gutierrez, right?
Right.
He'd be your pitcher because you've pitched Johnson and you've pitched Greenberg.
Yeah, you got Micah Sweetin available.
And you've got Sweetin. So, okay, this is interesting. For Dupic, you go Gutierrez, you go Sweetin. And then you're pitching on not as short rest as you would have been had they been playing today.
Right.
So is Alex Johnson, or is, probably not Greenberg, but is Alex Johnson available for a game two?
Or are you just hoping you can get through those two games and you're going to save him for the final, for the championship game?
Yeah, see, it's a lot in play. But you need to win because you already have a loss.
Yeah.
So you need to, so like, if I'm Briarcliff, I'm probably not pitching my ace game one because, you know, if we mess around and get a win without our ace on the mound, good. We get to rest our ace for a day. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I thought it was interesting that they pitched Rhodes. We've seen that a little bit this season where he just comes in as an opener and then they get the rest with their bullpen. So maybe Gutierrez is in play, maybe Sweetin's in play, but I'm really interested for that game too. Is Alex Johnson in play, or do you just play the other of Gutierrez or Sweetin?
Right. It's good to have options though. Lots of good options available.
All three. I'll say this: all three of those names, I have complete confidence in.
Yep, 100%.
And then, yeah, that's the other thing you're thinking about too is if they make the championship game, then you'd have to pitch the third. So who do you want to open your championship game? I would say probably Alex Johnson. Probably. I think that's the ace of your staff. Agreed. Grad senior. He's got the best ERA, most strikeouts. But I wouldn't bat an eye at any of the other two guys either. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, for sure.
It'll be interesting to see. And you know what? Hats off to baseball for giving us such an exciting end of the season. This has really been just a, even if you're kind of removed from the sports thing, this has been a very cool, and if you can, go and catch a game at PCP, because those, I wasn't lying about the playoff atmosphere, it's good out there, half of Seward's out there, so like 50 people, but.
They're there, and they're supporting.
They are there. But
certainly
yeah.
If we make the championship game, make sure you're there.
Oh yeah.
Should be a good one.
That's going to be, fun.
Do we know what the day for that's going to be?
That's going to be fun. I do not, but if you want to look that up, I have something else to tell the audience.
Go for it.
Concordia, we just got named for having a national tournament bid. So we're going to be the host. We're going to be the host site of one of the national tournament games. Now, what's interesting, so Concordia Baseball is set to host NAI opening round, but it's at Lincoln Sherman Field. So it's technically a home game for us, but it's in Lincoln because, I don't know, maybe PCP wasn't accommodating. That's going to take place. So if we're looking beyond this, we already have the bid, by the way.
Okay.
So we can talk about this. This is going to take place from May 12th to 15th is when the tournament is scheduled, but we don't know the scheduling yet. That is going to be on a live selection show at 4 p.m. Central on May 7th is when like the scheduling and all of that's going to get announced. But there will be a game for Concordia at Lincoln's Sherman Field, which I've never heard of, but for the folks who grew up around here, maybe this will mean something. It's on 225 South Street in Lincoln, Nebraska.
All right.
So it's got artificial turf, they say, new backstop. It was renovated in 2020. New drainage system, so that's exciting.
Won't have to deal with all the tarps and sponges and shot backs.
It was originally opened in 1947, so I guess it was due for a new drainage system.
Got some history there.
Yeah, and I guess there will not be football guys with sponges and shot backs.
Probably not. And we've got that date on the GPAC championship game. It'll be Monday, May 5th at 6 p.m. is the planned date, assuming there's no more sprinkles.
Quick turnaround. Oh, so even, okay, so like if you use Alex Johnson in one of tomorrow's games, you would have Greenberg. That'd be 4 days, 5 days rest, which is completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah, you just got a day between the Briarcliff series and the championship game. You've got that Sunday off, and then
it's interesting.
The championship.
It's interesting, but that'll be exciting to watch. That'll be exciting to watch. Talking about exciting to watch, where you want to go with this? Tennis or track?
Let's go track and then close with tennis.
Okay, yeah, track, because tennis has got some good stuff for
tennis
us.
Tennis has some real good stuff.
What's track got?
So track, they were kind of split up this week. We had three different meets that were attended. We had the Drake Relays, the University of Kansas Rock Chalk meet,
Ooh, rock
and
chalk.
Then the Nebraska Wesleyan Prairie Wolf invite. So the first two, not many, you know, top three results, because those are very competitive D1 meets.
That's right. Yeah, we were talking about that.
But at the Drake Relays, we had our women's 4x4 get third place. They 3:47.33. And that was Adriana Rodensel, Trinity Tools, Isabel Salters, and then Kayla Kirchner on that squad.
They're so good.
They are really good.
They're so good.
It's nuts.
Like, you can always pencil them in for like a podium.
Yes, they are. Mark them down already for All-American.
Are they the record holders for women's 4x4? Like, is this the best women's 4x4 we've ever had?
It'd shock me if they weren't.
It'd shock me, too. Next time I'm in Walls, when I walk by that record board, I'll have to check. Take a peek.
Yeah, because they are
really Jake Knabel's good. Hogging all the record books, the actual physical.
Real. He doesn't let us have them here.
Yeah. So.
But, yeah.
Just kidding, Jake Knabel. We love you.
We do love you. But, yeah, this is a pretty nuts time. You know, they're going against D1, D2, D3, other NAIA competition, getting third in that. And then Adriana got sixth individually in the 100 hurdles with a 13:71. At the University of Kansas meet, we just had one top finisher, Emery Gutz. He got fourth place in the javelin with 54.42 meters. And then we had quite a few good finishers in the Nebraska Wesleyan Prairie Wolf invite. So we'll go through the top three.
Let's do it.
For this one. First place women, we just had one, but it was Haley Miles in the long jump and the triple jump.
Whew.
So in the long jump, she placed first with a 5.38 meter jump, and then she triple jumped 10.94 meters for that first place.
Goodness gracious.
Mason Ostermeyer was the lone guy in first place in the pole vault, of course. He vaulted 4.7 meters. It's not his best of the season, but still enough to get him that first place.
Yep.
Second place women, we had Kayla Svoboda in the 100 hurdles, 14.76, and then Tayden Kirchner, I believe that's sister of Kayla.
Oh, a little tag team action.
Also a 400 meter runner.
Yeah.
She placed second with a 59.99, so not quite where her sister's at, but getting right there.
That's on top of the conference competition, I'm sure the sibling rivalry aspect of that. It's pretty motivating, huh?
I'm sure it's been there for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so then our women's 4x1 also got second of that meet, and that didn't have necessarily our A team on that. But still a solid squad that included it was Cambria Saunders, Kennedy Canales, Coral Collins, and then Kiki Nianic, and that was 48:13, so still a solid time. We got second out of two. But Nebraska Wesleyan has a really good squad, so we were only a little bit behind them. So
yeah.
still not a bad result.
Okay.
And then second place men, we had Trey Robertson in the 1500. He ran 4:01.79. And then Evan Hill came in second place right behind Mason in that pole vault with 4.55 meters. Moving on to third place for the women, we had Jaylene Cosmos in the triple jump with 10.4 meters. And then Cambria Saunders, one of those 4x1 girls, in the open 100 with a 12.6. Third place men, we have quite a few of these. We had the Talking Dog's very own Aaron Spivey.
Oh my gosh,
in that triple
kidding?
Jump with a 13.52 meter score or mark.
It's an award-winning podcast in multiple ways now.
It is so award-winning.
How about that?
First place in the podcast rankings.
Podcast rankings.
Third place in the triple jump at the Prairie Wolf invite. What don't we do?
We're so awesome.
We are super,
that's so
we are
cool.
Super cool.
All right.
Then we have Connor Ash, third place in the shot put, 15.49 meters. Austin Rizel in the discus with 46.6 meters. Trevor Kunchel in the 1500, right behind Trey, 4:03.77. And then Easton Fries in the 110 hurdles, 14:89.
Attaboy.
And currently, the GPAC track and field meet is underway. We're getting a lot of the field events going right now.
Okay.
We've had some of our throwers getting some early points for the guys.
Any early results? We
took third through fifth, I saw, in one of the throwing events. Let's see, I just had it pulled up.
Oh, you got to go to the Twitter
machine. We have Nathan Baldwin, Connor Ash, and then Austin Rizel. Going 3, 4, and 5 in the hammer throw.
Nice.
So getting some early points on the board.
What gets you points? Top five finishes?
I think it's top eight.
Top eight, yeah. Okay.
I think it goes like 10, 8, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And the higher you are, the more points.
Yeah, exactly. So Doan took the top two spot, but we're getting those next three.
Doan.
God, those Doan Tigers.
The Tigs.
Hate those guys.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
They're good at track. They're good at track.
They're very good at track.
We gotta tip our cap when tipping your cap is due.
Definitely. But we're good at track as well.
We're good. Yeah, we're real good at track.
So they are currently underway in Hastings for the GPAC meet. Best of luck to them, hoping to get some more national qualifiers in and hopefully some meet championships as well.
Talking about nationals, we have some exciting news.
Very exciting.
From the racket and ball sport.
Mm-hmm. Going from bats to tracks to racks.
Bats to spikes to... Oh, well, we'll go spikes to shoes.
Ooh, yeah. We'll go with that. So, all that to say tennis, they had...
If you weren't catching our drift.
Yeah, on both the men's and the women's side, but especially that women's side, they had a very successful GPAC tournament. The men, we'll start with them because they had the second better of the go-around at...
Kai's allergic to saying worse. They had the worst of the two.
They had the worst
of
the two.
The second better, there's two.
They still had a really good...
We're not saying they didn't. We're not saying they didn't, but in comparison to the women...
Yes, that is correct.
They had a worse finish of the season.
But, all that to say...
Go ahead.
At the GPAC meet, they played three games, which was enough to take them to the final. So they beat Doan in the first one 4-0. You know, they have the 7-0 scoring scoring in tennis. But if one team gets to four right away, you can just sometimes they don't finish the other games.
They have run rules.
So we basically walked them off.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you would get that if you won all of your singles.
Yeah, so you win the doubles one to get your first one, and then if you get three singles wins right away, the others don't finish.
So, okay, so that saves the legs of how many people?
Three.
Three people, okay,
cool. And if you look at they still put the score at the time of stopping on the results, so we were winning all three of the other games.
Oh, really?
So they go best of two sets in the singles.
Yeah.
So we had two of them, we had won one already. And then the other one, we were winning the first one.
So do they just, they're like mid-set, and then the ump comes down, and he's like, call it.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, they don't have refs in tennis, but yeah.
Who's the guy they complain to? The guy sitting in the middle.
There's no one. That's just pros. In college tennis, you call your own outs.
I'm sure that gets contentious.
Yeah.
Oh,
and so
maybe.
You actually call
So what if there's a disagreement? Who steps in? The coaches?
I think sometimes, but basically, it's actually... even weird because you call the other guy's ins and outs because you're calling what's on your side, so you're calling his hits in or out.
I would get so abusive with that. I would never lose.
Yeah, you'd be
I would
perfect.
Never lose.
It was out, I swear.
It was out, dude.
You need to get your eyes checked.
Yeah, come on.
But yeah, no refs to complain to.
All right.
But yeah, so 4-0 win in that first one. In the second one, it was much closer against Mount Marty. It was a 4-3 victory. I believe we won the last set, so it was a 3-3 score, and then Santi Abadia, he ended up beating the Mount Marty guy to take the 4-3
win.
Was
that one close?
That one was, it was kind of close. So the first one was 6-4. Mm-hmm. And then the second was 6-3. So the other guy was definitely up there with him.
Yeah. It wasn't a blowout.
No, definitely not. So that one, I think, was the longest one of the six singles games. And then they ended up getting that win.
Skin of our teeth.
Yeah, we lost the doubles matchup. And then Hugo Fuentes, Nick Velders, Ben Chisholm, and then Santi all won their singles.
All right.
And then they ended up getting a 4-0 loss against ranked Morningside in the last game of the series. Still nothing to hang their heads at. It's been an incredible season and an even more incredible tournament making it to the final.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of GPAC awards to go along with that. So
let's hear it.
They give out all GPAC awards for singles and doubles. So Santi, he got an honorable mention in singles and then all GPAC in doubles. Ben Chisholm, he got all GPAC in singles and doubles. He went 4-2 in singles, 5-1 in doubles. Hugo Fuentes was all conference for both. He went 3-3 in singles, 4-2 in doubles, but he was our number one. So he gets a little more leniency with that record.
Yeah.
Manu Rodriguez, he got honorable mention in doubles. He was 0-2 in singles, but 3-3 in doubles. Nick Velders, he got singles and doubles. He was 5-1 in those singles matches and then 4-2 in the doubles. And then Grady Works was honorable mention in both. He went 5-1 in singles and then 3-3 in doubles.
Oh, wow.
So we got six.
Really good singles records.
Goodness yeah, six gracious. Six guys getting all GPAC with lots of, you could say that's, it's really like 13, 14
high praise.
Different things. Yeah. Yeah,
that's good to see.
But even more impressive than the men's side, we have the women's tennis.
Oh, yeah.
So they competed in the GPAC tournament as well. They had the exact same start as the men did, a 4-0 win, this time against College of St. Mary. Then a 4-1 win against Doane. And then in the final, they also came up against Morningside, who they lost to 4-3 earlier in the year.
What are the odds? What are the odds that we faced Morningside in both finals?
I think
interesting.
Morningside was the top seed in the men and the women.
Wow.
So it was pretty likely, I guess.
Yeah. And then, so you say we lost, the women lost to Morningside earlier.
And they won 4-2 this side.
Yeah.
So we won the doubles point to start it off. That was Chikira Durman and then Alana Lopez-Pagan and then Tessa Blau and Alexa Richard defeating the Morningside doubles partners. And then in singles, we had Chikira Durman win. We had Alana win. We had Nina Milic win. And then that was enough to walk it off. We had two losses, and then Lydia Suarez was beating Alexa Richert. It was a close one, but they were in a deuce kind of thing.
Deuces.
So they you just win by two.
Okay.
So they were 6-6, so it still could have gone either way, but that one ended unfinished to keep it at 4-2. Could have been 4-3, could have been 5-2. Really doesn't matter.
It was 5-2 in my book.
Exactly.
I read 5-2.
Alexa would have gotten that one.
Mm-hmm.
She would have.
So we're GPAC champions.
We are GPAC tournament champions.
Oh!
GPAC tournament champions, and that comes with the bid to nationals.
Dude, let's go. We haven't announced a GPAC championship on the pod yet.
Yeah, GPAC tournament. Yeah,
not tournament. Not tournament. Not tournament. Right. This is our first. Oh, wow. Way to save the best for last.
Wow.
Way
to go. Soccer, we lost the final.
Yeah. Way to go, ladies.
Thank you, women's tennis.
Wow.
For giving us a GPAC tournament champion.
That's awesome, dude. Do you have the... I'm sure Jake Knable probably has an article. Like, I wonder... I want all the data now. Like, how many is this in our history? Is this our first?
For the tennis team?
Yeah.
First one.
Wow.
This is their best season ever.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
This kind of came out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, because it was not a great season last year.
It wasn't, and they were just kind of cruising.
Yeah.
They obviously had a great record, but, like, you were never going to, hey, this is, they're gearing up for a GPAC champion here. Mm-hmm.
Or, like, a nationals trip.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised that they are, but it wasn't, like, an expectation, I'd say.
They're playoff risers.
Definitely. They clutched up when it mattered.
The lights got brighter, and they got better.
They shined like the lights did.
That's awesome.
That win means that they will be going to Alabama. Mobile, Alabama, at the Mobile Tennis Center on May 13th to play Marion University in the first round of nationals.
Yeah, at least they gave you some time to sit on it.
Oh yeah.
So like we beat Morningside April 26th.
Yep.
And so the first one isn't like May 13th.
So okay, it's like 2.5 weeks.
Yes, yeah, so that's not like baseball turnaround where it's like, all right, we're right back in it. We're gonna give you half a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is like.
Best we can do is 3 days.
Yeah, best we can give you. This is like, we won our first. We won our first in school history. Let us celebrate a bit.
Yeah,
responsibly.
Take a day off.
Like
of course,
good,
responsibly.
We're like good Lutherans.
Of course.
But we're celebrating. We're gonna go nail some 95 theses to the wall.
as all good Lutherans do when they win something. Yeah,
that's what I do.
I don't know. Marion sounds not Lutheran, so maybe we need to go prank their school.
Yeah.
We'll nail some theses to their wall.
We'll put some small catechisms in their newspaper bins.
And then we'll put some large catechisms on their doorstep. Yeah. Like newspapers.
Yeah, we'll get that.
We'll disguise them. Large catechism as a newspaper.
That will show them.
Yep, and then we'll go beat them on May 13th in Alabama. So, good luck to ladies there.
And then after we win the national championship, then we can celebrate. Well, on that note, that'll be all for this episode of Talking Dogs.
Not yet.
Oh, did I jump the gun?
You jumped the gun. We have to talk about the all G-PAC women.
Yeah.
Even though they're not, I get why you did it, because they're not done yet. But
isn't it? Yeah, see, because I'm so conditioned. I'm so conditioned that, like, after the G-PAC tournament, we're out of it.
Right.
This is the first time on the pod. We won the whole thing.
Exactly. But that means the G-PAC is over. So they released their awards for that.
Yeah.
And those award winners, same kind of thing as the men's tennis. They give singles and doubles. So we had Tessa Blau get the doubles all G-PAC. She was 6-0 in doubles competition. No one could beat her. Shakira Durman.
Undefeated.
Got it for singles. Undefeated 6-0 in singles. Ishane Durman, the sister, she got it for both singles and doubles. 5-1 in singles, 4-2 in doubles. Mariana Milano, she got singles and doubles, 5-1 in singles, 4-2 in doubles. And then Alexa Richert got it for both singles and doubles. 5-1 of those singles matches, undefeated 6-0 in doubles.
Ooh, that's nice, man.
Very nice.
So you play the doubles first, right?
Yes.
So it must be pretty good if you're really good at doubles to start your singles play ahead 1-0.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I feel like that's a great advantage.
Lots of pressure off. You just need 3 instead of 4 wins.
Yeah, that's huge. That's
because
really
at that point, if you lose it, you're thinking, we need 4 out of 6 wins here.
Yeah.
That's a whole other thing, dating 3 out of 6.
Yeah, so that's big that we're good at doubles. Really definitely. Good at doubles, it seems like.
Very good, yeah. 6-0 because Alexa and Tessa are our partners, so they are undefeated together.
Yeah. All right.
So now you may proceed.
Am I good?
You're good.
All right. That'll be all for this episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for weekly podcasts on the CU and ESOAR website and on Spotify. From Cohen Carpenter and Kyle Elbrook and everybody at the CU and ESOAR newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!